Amen. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, if you will. Thank you. As the story unfolds, we're told that the lampstands signify the churches. During harsh times of persecution, the faithful often wonder where their master is. Is he even aware of what they are experiencing? John's vision confirms what the gospel already teaches, that Jesus is present with them, even in their suffering, moving among those who dare to bear the light. Lampstands, of course, are not the light. They only carry the light. The true light that has come into the world is none other than Jesus, the Son of Man. In chapter 2, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore where once thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, and thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Now verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give and eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the garden." Immediately following the vision of Christ in the midst of the seven churches, messages are given to the churches. This is the beginning of the second part of the book of Revelation. It has to do with the things which are. The part includes chapter 2 and 3 and contains the things concerning the church on the earth until its rapture. Recording the letters to the churches, the messages given are to the local churches in Asia that exist in that day and that were addressed in this letter. John knew these churches. There is much speculation as to the additional meaning and application to these messages. Some Bible teachers have tried to attest that the seven churches of Asia to which John was writing has dispensational application. This means that they portray seven church periods or phases of church history. According to this theory, we are now in the Philadelphia or Laodicean church. This is not the case. Actually, the conditions that existed in the Ephesians church, which would be the period ending with the apostles, still exist in the churches today. A universal application of the message is clearly discernible. Conditions of the seven churches which are described continue to exist even in churches in this day and age, and will as long as the church is upon the earth. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, this is the pastor, this is the light of that church. The pastors are the angels or the lights. The lampstands are the churches. And Christ walks in those lampstands, in those churches. He walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Yeah. See, that's a very serious thing that we should really pray about and believe, that he knows our works. He knows this church's work. He knows what's in your heart. He walks among us. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. We were admonished at the beginning of this service. Just listen to this, church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember there from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Church, do you remember your first love? And if you remember your first love, do you remember when you first got married, how in love you were? Do you remember how your heart burned to be with the one you loved? Do you remember how the chase was there? But you chased your first love. And this is what he's talking about here. You've got to get back to that first love. I remember my burning heart. I remember when I got first saved in 1982, May 19th, and Pastor laid hands on me. I remember the melted butter that went down. I was in total awe, church. How it went down, and it went to my feet, and it come right back up again, and it went down again. Say what you will about that, but I remember that. I remember my first love, and I loved Jesus, and I would have done anything at that time for Jesus. I had things said about me. It said, well, he's on his honeymoon. His honeymoon will be over. But church, that's not true. That's right. There is no honeymoon with Christ. And if you feel that Christ has left you, it's only because you have to grow. He's waiting for you to grow. Because all trials and tribulations are growing times. They're growing times because God's seeing your attitude and your response. God's seeing how you handle things. Whether it's car rage or road rage or whatever it is, he's looking at you. He knows your works. And we don't get to heaven by works. We do it by faith. But it takes faith to get through this life today. Because this Christianity, this Christian walk is all about you. It's all about you every day. It's all about your heart, what you think, what you do. All your prejudices, all your loves. It's all about you. And that's what Jesus is saying. Get back to your first love. Let me do things for you again. Let me go before you. And let me speak to you. Let me change the hearts around you because you have favor in me. Let me go before you and just put that financial situation to a rest. And let me provide for you. See, we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from our first love because we have to do it. Church, I am as guilty as the next one. I repent before God because I feel I got to do it. Well, I don't have to do it. I have to trust and rely in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to do that. I have to allow Him. I have to love Him like I did before. I have to be as quick to repent and as quick to hit my knees and say, praise you, Lord Jesus, I love you. Instead of being so busy. He said He hates the work of the Nicolaitans. Because the Nicolaitans were the ones that say, hey, you know, we can get together and have a house full of guys and women and just have sex with each other. But that's what the Nicolaitans did, and God hated that. Nicolaitans got away from God. And I did some reading, and I don't think I should go into that. But Nicholas never meant that, because he was one of the deacons, and he never meant it that way. The only thing he meant was he was in love, deeply in love with his wife. And he said, I'm going to love my wife, but I'm going to love Christ first. So he judged himself, and they took that, and they just ran with it. Because he said, the deacons could have my wife before I would leave God. He didn't mean that they were supposed to have relationships with their wives, but they took that, the Nicolaitans took that, and God hated that. And then there was Spirit of Balaam, who actually went for Balak ahead of him, and Balaam was supposed to curse Israel, and three times Balak had him build an altar and go before God to ask him, how should he curse Israel? And every time he could not do it. And he came back to Balak and he said, Balak, how can I curse something that's blessed? That's you, church. How can anyone curse something that's blessed? Yeah. Only you can separate from the love of the Lord. No one can do that to you. So then there was a spirit of Balaam because he brought women in. Women in to trip up Israel and make them have relationships with them, sexual relationships. So that was the spirit of Balaam, and God hated that as well. The key to these verses pertaining to the church of Ephesus is found in this expression, "Thou hast left thy first love." Christ goes on to say that they already remember from whence they are fallen, repent, and do the first works. And he would come quickly and remove the candlestick out of their place if they did not repent. They had left their first love. Many Christians have done this. This was a situation where Jesus said he had somewhat against them. Jesus must come first. This is a marvelous promise to those who overcome. The only way you're going to overcome today, church, the only way you're going to overcome, the only way you're going to overcome, church, is when Jesus comes first. It's the only way. Anyway, and if you're apart from God, it's not going to work. Be frustration and failure. Jesus must come first. There is a marvelous promise to those who overcome. They would be given to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Those also reveals that the saints will eat when they're in a glorified state. So you will be eating in heaven as well.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Jesus is our tree of life here right now on earth. He is the life. He is our way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. He is our tree of life. If you don't partake of the tree of life here, you'll never partake there because you will die here. And that's why the Word, that's why we say the Word, the Word, the Word. The Word is powerful. We need the Word of God. We need that every day. That is our medicine. I got to get that in my head. Every day you should have a scripture that you're into and meditating on, because that's your medicine. If you don't take your medicine, you will be sick. It's that simple. But even so, our physicians that are human, if they tell us to take a pill, we do it. We make sure. I've seen people excuse themselves out of meetings and say, I got to go take my pill. But do we take our spiritual pill? Is it that important? He talks to Smyrna. He talks to Smyrna. He says, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write. He said, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. But thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but actually are from the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Ancient Smyrna, where this church was, is located in modern Izmir. It was one of the most beautiful cities of all Asia. Smyrna was the center of Caesar worship for Asia. Still today, Izmir is a Muslim city in Turkey, and it's near Istanbul and Ankara. He said he knew their works. And they were exhorted to be faithful unto death, and he would give them the crown of life. Obviously, the people here had been saved. But God warns them again and again that man is not to turn his back on God. The Lord stated in this scripture that if you will be faithful unto death, he will give you a crown of life. He said that he will overcometh. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This application and implication here is that he who does not overcome will be hurt by the second death and eternal judgment. A person cannot earn his salvation, but he does have the responsibility and obligation after he commits his heart and life to Jesus Christ. The overcomer is promised that he will not be hurt by the lake of fire. So what's that saying? It's saying that my people, called by my name, You're going to plead the blood of Jesus and be an overcomer. By what? By the word of your testimony. Because God's listening to what you speak. You can't overcome by woe is me, shift blaming. You cannot overcome by not speaking the word. That's not going to happen. We, God's children,
We have to know whether it's a pizza or whether it's helping a handicap, whether it's building a house, whether whatever we do, you need to speak the word. In every situation, you have to speak the word. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just exhorting you that you have to speak the word. Because if that's not the case, then you would get caught up in a lot of things in that world. And believe me, there are traps. There's traps. And they're set just for you. But when you're in the word and God's leading you and the Holy Spirit's in you, speaking to you, nobody can stop you. You are unstoppable. We are going to talk about Pergamos. I'm trying to find it here. I lost my place. I'm sorry. Where am I at, D? Verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know your works." Now there's a common thread running through this. I know thy works. So he's saying to every church, I know your works. And where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest first my name, and hast not denied the faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. We talked about that. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword in my mouth. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. As in each of the letters, three things stand out. First, there is something good said about each church, with the expectation of one or two. Then a fault or problem is dealt with. And thirdly, he says, if they will do what he says for them to do, they will receive a certain blessing as they overcome. The good thing he had to say to this church was that he knew their works and where they dwelt. It was even where Satan's seat is. Now, the reason why that was Satan's seat is because they worship Caesar. There was a lot of idol worship going on there. Pergamos was the capital of the city of Asia and also the site of a famous temple of Aesculapius, the Greek god of healing. The area around the temple was inhabited by thousands of harmless snakes. People came all over the empire to seek healing in this pagan temple. The church of Pergamos was commended for holding fast to his name and not denying faith. But he said he had a few things against this church. There were them holding fast to the doctrine of Balaam, which relates to one of the most shameful incidents in the history of Israel, recorded in Numbers 22:25 and 31:15-16, is a tragic story. Balaam counseled Balak to get Moabite women to seduce the men of Israel. This resulted in a disaster for God's people. In Pergamos, there were some who were involved in sensuality and were in opposition to laws and regulations. God said he hates that. Repentance is called for. To the obedient and victorious, rewards will be given. They will be given the privilege of eating this hid manna as they overcome. They also will be given a white stone with a new name in it. This carries with the idea of victory. I'm compelled to say this tonight. I want you to just hear this, please. The spirit of Balaam still pervades this nation today. Don't think it doesn't. And it pervades this nation in things that are tricking us up. Because when you watch TV, now I got to turn my head. I can't watch it no more. Women and little clothing on. And church, I talked to somebody that said, and I'm sorry if this offends you, but this needs said. They told me, this was a youth, they said that 8 out of 10 youth males are caught up in porn. Now, don't tell me the spirit of Balaam is not here. Because they're being seduced by women. And they're in the church. It's seducing the church. This is church. This is an epidemic. We take a look at drugs. But you know what? Porn is a drug. And it perverts the brain. And you need to go back more and more and more. So there's drugs. I don't have to name these things. There's many things that can trip us up. It could be food. It could be money. But Satan is coming after you. Whether it's a spirit of Balaam, whether it's a spirit of the almighty dollar, he's coming after us. Why? Why is that? Because we have the word in us. We were taught well here. We know how to speak the word. But you know what? One gaze. One gaze. One gaze, and we got our eyes off of Christ. I'm telling you that, watch out. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Because we are in perilous times. And the enemy will use anything. The enemy will use your family. He'll split your family. Or he'll split your friends. Or he'll use whatever you are weak with against you. It could be fear. Pastor taught on fear here. But we have to guard our hearts. This is what Jesus is saying here. Repent. Return to your first love. Return to me when I could guard you and help you. Return to me when you had the most joy in your life. Return to me when you laughed with me. When you rejoice with me, when you lifted your hands unashamed and you praise with me, return to me. Repent. Because this world, this system is made to turn your head. And if it's not food or anything else, it could be a present. It could be because you just don't like somebody. And the enemy is using your heart and just keeps turning you and turning you and turning you. To Thyatira. Verse 18. And unto the angel in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and I know your faith, and I know your patience, and I know your works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou suffer that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. By the way, back up, sacrifice unto idols in a new covenant. You remember Peter's vision? Come down, and God says that I've blessed all things. Now that was for the Jews and the Gentiles, but I see that as he blessed all foods as well. Amen? So it's like a twofold. He says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children unto death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins of the hearts. This is back to the heart again, church. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have known the depths, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden than that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I receive of my Father, I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. Yeah. So it's talking about seduction, isn't it not? Yeah. Amen. Amen. This church was located in a small town, little outpost, and it was little importance compared to the other six cities. A female oracle called Sambath Sambeda presided over the lucrative fortune-telling business. You see fortune-telling signs right on the broadhead. They're here. The preoccupation with female religion may have been an influence on this church as it allowed a corrupt ministry of Jezebel. The Lord had some good things to say about this church, but he also had some bad things to say because they allowed this woman Jezebel, who claimed to be a prophetess, allowed them to seduce his servants and commit fornication. You know, that's brought up a lot, these churches. And so, you know, that's what I admonished you to protect your heart. Because it's a real and present danger today. It's here today. And, you know, I like to say, even more so, guys don't talk about that stuff. You won't hear guys talk about that unless they're with a bottle of alcohol or something and they're out with each other. But they won't talk about that stuff because, really, they're ashamed of it. Amen. But more of it's going on than ever. Somebody has to talk about it. But I tell you this, protect your heart. Guard your heart. Because once you let the enemy in there and get a stronghold, you're going to have to come to the altar and repent and get down before God to get cleaned up. Then he made a horrifying statement. Jesus said this, I will kill her children with death. The matter of the major concern was allowing this woman Jezebel to influence a church. Either there was a woman in the church named Jezebel that could well have been, or the Lord just likened her to an evil person of Jezebel that lived in the time of Elijah. It doesn't make any difference. This woman was operating in the church in Thyatira. She was allowed to teach a false doctrine, declaring herself to be a prophetess. She was telling the people it was all right for them to commit fornication and to eat things offered to idols. The Lord said that he would judge her. The church was allowing these ungodly activities. The assurance he gave to the church was that the overcomer would have authority over the nations as he promised to Christ. I'm going to stop it there. I'm going to finish up on the three churches in maybe a couple of weeks. I'll talk to Jack and see if I can get back up here because I think it's very important that you know what Jesus said to the churches. I think it's very important that you can compare to what's going on today. I think it's very important you have to know Christ's heart concerning the church. And I think these teachings of seven churches of Asia Minor was very important. But I'm going to stop there. I do admonish you, though, stay right with God.